The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we have a mizmor, a praise for Hashem, which is popularly known as Dayenu. Actually, the real name of it is not Dayenu, but Kama Milis Tevis Lamokam Olenu. Now, Kama Milis Tovis Lamokam Olenu. Incidentally, we have, since that this evening shir is going to be on this piece, we've made photostat copies of it for your convenience. Yeah, if anyone doesn't have that on the bima. Now, the translation of Kama Miles Tevis Lamokam Aleinu, popularly it's translated as that there are many favors which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, or which we are committed to Hashem to thank Him for. But the word Milos does not mean favors. The word Milos means degrees, levels, steps. Which means that there are many, many steps, many, many levels that we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu thanks for. And it is referring to the degrees of the levels which He has given us, which He has brought us up. And there's a gamut, there's a whole scope of them listed here. And steps, malos, steps and levels, means where each one is higher than the preceding one. Now, why do we sing this praise here in the Haggadah Shel Pesach? And the answer to that is simple, is obvious. Because the first step, which is mentioned, is Ilu Hotzianu Mimitzrayim V'le'osavem Shvotim Dayenu, that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken us out from Egypt, that would have sufficed. So since the first step is the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, and the Haggadah Shel Pesach is for the night, when we discuss, we praise Hashem on the Exodus, on the going out of Egypt, so then it is quite obvious what this has to do here. Now, of all of these degrees, the first one is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this is the first level that the Almighty brought us to, and the first level that we must thank Him for. Now, on this, the Torah tells us that we must be cognizant of many, many times. For example, when it comes to all of these mani hakdeshim, the gibel et golim, Pesach Shavuos, or Sukkos, or Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur, or Shabbos, all of the sanctified times, so we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We should remember the going out of Egypt. In the first command of the Ten Commandments, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, it states Asher Atzei Sicho Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt. In the Parsha of Tzitzis, again it states this. In the Parsha of Tefillin, again it states this. And there are many, many mitzvahs in the Torah that are linked to the going out of Egypt. Not only that, but the Gemara says, Maskirin Yetziris Mitzrayim b'chol yom, that we are obligated to remember the going out of Egypt, to make mention of it every day. So the Haggadah is a discussion if it's every day and every night also, or just every day, but nevertheless, every day. So this being the first level that we attained, we see that this is something that it is incumbent upon us to remember all of the time. But the reason for this is that we must constantly remember where we came from, what our beginnings, what was our beginnings. That's firstly. And secondly, we must remember to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this. Now this is a very important foundation, a very important principle, because there is nothing which is more lowly, there is nothing which is more disgraceful than being an eved, being a slave. In the eyes of the Torah, there can be nothing which is lower or more disgraceful than being a slave. And excuse me 1 minute, just 1 minute. As we were saying, this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of slavery from Egypt is something which we are required to remember all of the time. But this is very profound, because there is nothing that can be more disgraceful to a person, or to his yichus, or his kveid mishpachta, the honor and dignity of his family, is if he was a slave. And if someone is a slave, he's not too proud of the fact, and he certainly doesn't want to publicize it, and he certainly doesn't want to remember it too much. And it's yet here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us that every day of our lives, every day, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, you should remember every day of your lives that Avodim Hayinu LePara B'Mitzrayim, that we were slaves to Paro in Egypt. This is something very, very profound. People, when they come from weak beginnings, they choose to forget about it, or they choose to conceal it. Here we're coming from the disgraceful beginning of Avodim Hayinu LePara B'Mitzrayim, that we were slaves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that all of the time make mention of it. When you make Kiddush on Shabbos, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, make mention of Egypt. And the same thing on the Shlesh Regolim. And the same thing when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And all of the mitzvahs, and we put it in the parshas of the tzitzis, and in the tefillin. Until the Gemara tells us, Maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim b'chol yom, every day we have to make mention of it. So this is certainly something which has a profound impact on the individual. And what does it mean? It means two things. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live with this yediyah. He wants us to live with this knowledge. Not just to know it, but it should be part of us tomid all of the time. Firstly, in order to know and to remember what our beginnings were, this brings an enormous humility to the person. If a person will fulfill this mitzvah, he can't become very arrogant. Because as we'll speak a little further, there is nothing which is lower in the eyes of the Torah than being a slave. So every day we have to drive home to the fact that we were slaves to Paro in Egypt for 210 years. So this brings a tremendous humility to the person. Fortunately, we have Jews who are arrogant. Jews who want to go in the ways of the nations. They try their best to conceal their past. And the Torah tries its best to reveal its past. To reveal their past. Every day we must bring this home to us. Secondly, it brings a great simcha and rejoicing to the person. Because we were slaves to Paro in Egypt, but Hashem Hetzionu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And He brought us out to a Cherus Olam, to a freedom forever, and gave us all of these milas, all of these levels. If a person would fulfill this mitzvah the way it's supposed to be, then he wouldn't be arrogant and he wouldn't be depressed. We have people today who are arrogant. We have many people today who are depressed or sad. But meanwhile, there is all of this rejoicing. So therefore, this is the first level. And this is what it is doing in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And it begins with this factor, and it ends with Ribono Olono Beis HaBechira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built for us the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the gamut from taking us out of a lowly servitude, the disgrace of having, living a life of a slave, and bringing us to the Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash. If we count these levels, we will find there are 15. Now this number is not the mikro, is not merely coincidental, but it's very significant. Why do we say this? Because we find that in the steps of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is the final elevation. There were 15 steps. And as a person went up to the Beis HaMikdash, as he went towards the Azorah, towards the courtyard, towards the part which is more sanctified, he walked up 15 steps. This is how we were commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash. And David HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, wrote a song to commemorate this. And he wrote 15 songs, which are called the Shir HaMalos, the songs of the steps, of the elevations. So we see that this number 15 is dafke, is of intrinsic significance, not merely something which is coincidental. And further, the Baral writes that we find that a total cycle in this world is 15, because the moon, Klal Yisrael, is compared to the moon. The moon has a cycle of 15 days. From the beginning of the new moon, it grows, its light grows a little every day. Day 1, day 2, day 3, until day 15. Then it reaches Bimiluha, it reaches its fullness. Then it starts to, the light starts to depreciate, the light starts to decrease until it's down to nothing, and again it starts its cycle. So we see that that is a total cycle of this world, 15. In other words, these levels are from the beginning to the end. And the reason why 15 is a total cycle of this world, he writes, is because we are taught that Ki Bekor Hashem Tzur Elomim, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Chof Vov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He came to create the world, He created it Bekor, B'Yud and He. He created it with the Yud and the He of His name. He, this world, and Yud, the next world. And Yud in the Hay is 15. The numerical value of 15. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave 15 levels to this world. And then it's interesting to note that all of these 15 levels he gave to Klal Yisrael, starting at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and going all the way to the Bon Alona Beis HaBechira, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, just like in everything, there's a beginning, and there's a middle, and there's an end. When a person moves from one place to the other, if he goes on a journey, there's a scholar beginning, and then there's a middle point, and then there's the tachlis, the ultimate objective, the end. So is it here. When Klal Yisrael travels through these levels, through these heights, there was a beginning, a middle, and an end. And therefore, they are divided up into three sections. The first five, the middle five, and the last five. And we'll take each section. Now the first five deals with the first levels, or the beginning. If you'll notice, all of these first five have to do with the freeing of Klal Yisrael from Egypt. For example, it states Shehetzionu Mimitzrayim, he took us out of Egypt. Also Vehem Shvoti, he dealt with the Egyptians, punished them. Also Ve'elehehem, he dealt with their gods. Horages Becheirehem, he killed their firstborn. Ve'nosan Lonu Es Memeinam, and he gave to us their money. So this all deals directly with Egypt. Now this is the first level. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring us to what we might consider an enormous height. He merely brought us to the height of free men. Hayitzionu Mimitzrayim. He took us out of Egypt and he destroyed Egypt's hold. He destroyed the hold of our masters over us. Now, as mentioned, that there is nothing in the eyes of the Torah lower than a slave. And there is nothing which is more admirable in the eyes of the Torah than a free man. I'll cite an example on that. The Gemara tells us that a person who's a slave says, this is Ama Deme Lechamor. Gemara compares him to an animal. Why? Because this is a beetle Tzuras HaOdom. Because this destroys the uniqueness and the greatness of man. What is the uniqueness and greatness of man? The fact that he has a seichel, he was given a gigantic intellect, and he can rule his life with that seichel. What distinguishes him from the animal? The animal was not given an intellect. The animal cannot rule his own life with the seichel. But the animal is ruled by instincts. Man was made a giant. Tzelem Elokim. Given a gigantic intellect, and he's given the Bechira HaChofshis, a free hand to direct his own life. And this is what makes man into man. This is what makes a Hevdel, a distinction between him and the animal. An animal is a slave. We take animals today, we don't have this experience anymore. But animals were given to us as slaves, as servants. Today we've traded in animals for machines. So the machines are our servants. So we don't have that everyday experience. But it wasn't a long time ago when people knew that animals were given to them for servants. The ox, He plowed for man. And the horse, he was man's transport. And the donkey, he was the porter for man. And they were trained to do exactly as man would tell them to. As the Gemara says, you call an animal and he comes. An animal's not coming because he decides he wants to come when you call him. He has to come. He was made into a natural servant and slave for man, and this is why they're trainable. You can train them to do exactly what you command them to do. This is very admirable in an animal. This is his purpose, to serve man. But when a man becomes like that, then he is reduced to a level of an animal. And this is why the Gemara says, an Eved is amadei melech hamor, an Eved, you're reducing him to a donkey. You're taking away his free will, you're taking away his gigantic intellect, you're taking away his self-mastership, and you're making him into a donkey, where he must do whatever you tell him. And this is the chamer. The donkey is called the chamor. The chamor is the animal which is most physical. Man was made of physical matter, and he was given a spirit, he was given an intellect. So you've reduced him into a donkey. And this is very far from serving Hashem and Torah and mitzvahs. Because the ability that man has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill Torah and mitzvahs, this doesn't come from the ability of the earth that he was made from. This comes from the ability of the spirit and the intellect and the free will which was given to him. And therefore, Yishalmi says that an Eved, Jewish Eved, he cannot say Krishma Shema Yisrael. How can he say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad? How can he proclaim the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mi Sheyesh Le'Odin Echad. That's someone who has one master can proclaim that when he has many masters. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Avodai Hei V'Lei Avodim La'Avodim. How can someone be my servant if he's a lowly servant to my own servants? To the contrary, freedom, liberty, this is the greatest and the most unique attribute that was given to man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, only free men can serve me. They will be my servants, but they must be free of all men. If someone is an Eved le'Eved, free to a servant of mine, he cannot serve me. And when Klal Yisrael received the Torah, and they received the tablets, and the Torah writes, Chorus al aluches, that the words of Hashem were engraved on the tablets. And the Gemara says, Chorus is the same word as Chorus, to tell us that those words that were engraved on the tablets, they are synonymous with freedom and liberty. That he who is free, he will be able to understand and fulfill the words of the tablets. He who is not free cannot. She'ein lecho ben cheirin elami she'esik v'torah. It's synonymous. He who is free can fulfill Torah, and he who fulfills Torah will be free. So we see that the furthest thing from Torah is a slave. And the attribute that brings a person close to Torah is freedom. So therefore, the first level, if a person is rising to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that he must not be a slave. He has to be free. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the levels of freedom. And that's why it states, Hotzi'enu Hashem Mimitzrayim, he took us out of Egypt. Also Behem Shvotim. Then he went and he punished. He judged the Egyptians. Now this is a second level, because he could have taken us out of Egypt, just free us, but leave the Egyptians alone. Now, he punished our masters, our taskmasters. Then further, he was also Shvatim Leleya. He destroyed their gods. So this was a further destruction to our taskmasters. And then further, Vahara Ages Bechereham. He went and he killed their firstborn. The firstborn represent the Erasius, the mocker, the source of them. So he went and he killed their firstborn. And then, Nosan Lono Es Memeinam, he gave us all of their possessions. So this was a total destruction of those who were masters over us. So one by one, one step at a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us and totally destroyed our masters. And therefore he brought us to the first level, he brought us to the level of being free from Egypt. And these are this is the first section, and these are the first five steps of that section. Now, we go to a further point now. A person though shouldn't think that just because he gains what we might call political freedom. You know, we hear a lot in the world today, people want to be free. They want political freedom, where one nation shouldn't rule another nation. They want where self-determination, where every person, every nation can determine its own destiny. Well, this was political freedom. Before, we couldn't determine our own destiny. We were subjected to the will of the Egyptians. And now we were free. But a person should realize that even if he has political freedom, it still doesn't make him into a free man. For example, he's got the world to contend with. He might be free from the yoke of other nations, but he is still enslaved to the elements of this world. He's still enslaved to the nature of this world. And the nature of this world can be a very, very strong taskmaster. People say, they're free. Are they free? Well, they have to deal with the natural elements. They have to deal with hunger. They have to deal with poverty. They have to deal with sickness. They have to deal with natural tragedy. Are they really free? They're slaves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went further. He demonstrated to Klal Yisrael that you are not a nation which is subjected to the elements of the world, to the nature of the world, but you are a nation that is subjected to me. And just like all of the elements of the world are subjected to me, so are you. And he lifted them above the nature of the world. And this was the second section, where after political liberation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu liberated them from the nature of the world. And what do we have? So we read as follows. Kora lonu es hayom. After he took us out of Egypt, he split the Red Sea. Now the splitting of the Red Sea was a phenomena which represented the breaking of the nature of the world. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, one of the great creations was the sea. As it states, He made the heavens, He made the earth, and He made the sea. The fact is, the sea was a very, very great creation. Like we gave in the Shir in Parshas Bereishis. Its waters rule the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the waters, move back. In order that the earth should become visible. So the waters were one of the great, mighty creations of the world. And when Klal Yisrael came to the sea, and they were trapped, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, and he told Moshe, "Metei Ashotcho, stretch out your arm, and the sea will split." This was a action from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to split the very nature of the world before Klal Yisrael. It wasn't like what took place in Egypt when Hashem told Moshe, stretch out your hand, or he told Aaron, and smite the river. Well, that was a river. The river is a servant to the sea, the Gemara tells us. The sea is the mistress, and the river is the servant. All rivers go into the sea. And that river was in Egypt, and in Egypt alone. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck at the sea. And when he struck at the sea, he struck at the very source of water, of the force of water. And it states, Vayiboku Hamayim, Hayam Leinemar El Hamayim, that the water split, it states, not the sea. Mikan Sheboku Kol Mayim Sheba'ilam. From here we learn all waters in the world were split. Kodesh Baruch Hu was devastating the nature of the world, the nature of creation before Klal Yisrael. It was a showdown. Klal Yisrael had to go, and creation was stopping them. So therefore creation had to move aside. This is why that on the sea it states Vayar, they saw Esayoda Hazokor, they saw the strong hand, while in Egypt it states Etzbelukim, they saw the finger of Hashem. What took place in Egypt was something which was not all encompassing. It was something very isolated, and therefore it was called the finger of Hashem. But what took place on the sea was all encompassing. So it wasn't called a finger, it was called the hand. They saw the Yad Chazoko, the great hand. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu was demonstrating to Klal Yisrael that your lot doesn't fall into the hands of the laws of nature like other nations do. But I take care of you. And since I am above the nature, so are you. And when it's necessary to move heaven and earth because of you, it will be moved. And this was the demonstration. So now he's lifting up Israel even higher. Not talking anymore about a mere political freedom from one nation from another. He's talking about giving a people a freedom from the physical world. And we have five steps. It states Koralono Esayom, he split the nation, he split the sea for us. Then he took us through in dry land. Now what was so good about that? Why was that better? Manal says something very interesting. If an army wanted to cross the sea, or if an army wanted to cross a river, an army wanted to cross a sea or a river, they had to make an attack. So what would they do? Would they either swim across? Or if they could somehow drain or dredge, then they would do that and cross. But how dry would they make it? They would make it shallow enough where you can cross. Kodesh Baruch Hu could have told the sea to split, move over, but just so it should be shallow enough so Klal Yisrael could walk through. They would wade through. But it states in the Torah Becharova, it states that Klal Yisrael went through the seabed, which was totally dry. Not only did he remove the sea to the point where people could walk through, but he removed every last drop of water
So Klal Yisrael would walk through on dry land. So this was a further beetle, a further destruction of the teva of the physical world for Yisrael. Then it states, "Vishikat Sareinu Besecher." When the Egyptians came through, he caused all of the Egyptians to drown in the sea. What does this show? This is a further phenomenon. Because if the sea was destroyed and told to move out of the way, so then what's it doing drowning the Egyptians? And if it's drowning the Egyptians, so why wasn't it also causing that problem to Israel? So you see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a melech bosav adom, you have a war and you have to move something, you have to blow something up. Well, if you blow it up for yourselves, then it's blown up for everyone. If you leave it remain, it remains for everyone. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sea, destroyed the sea, so it should not harm Israel. But at the same time, he allowed the sea to retain its power in order to destroy Egypt. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that where necessary, I will remove heaven and earth for you. But the same heaven and earth, they will smite your enemies. So this was a further level. Shikat Sareinu Besecher. Then states Visipek Sorcheinu Bamidbar Memshono. He sustained all of our needs in the desert 40 years. This is a further level. You know, we always talk that if a miracle happens to us, we're very, very thankful. A person was saved from an accident, or he was saved from sickness, or he was saved from gangsters. And we come and we bench gemel, and it's brought malocha that you should make a suda seidah, you should set aside a day to thank Hashem and make a suda and invite the poor. But we also speak about the miracles that happen to us every day. And the greatest miracle that happens to us every day, the Gemara says, is panosa. It says, Godel panosa shel odom, that this, that a person has what to eat three times a day, every day of his life. Or if he misses a meal, so he makes up for it. Especially in our society. The Gemara says that's kigula. That's his greatest redemption. Kosher panosos shel odom kikriyas yamsuf. It says panosos shel odom, this that a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings sustenance to a person, this is as great as the splitting of the Red Sea. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings sustenance to everyone. Not only to Jews, but to everyone. And not only to every man, woman, and child, but to every creation. Every creation. I once heard a Yiddish saying, Afilo a worm unter a stein. Even a worm under a stone. Under the stone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget about it. And make sure he has what to eat. The Gemara tells us this is the greatest miracle that happens to a person. Now, this is all of the time. What happens if you're going through a desert? A desert is a place where there is no panosa. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat because nothing grows there. There's nothing to drink. And there's no shelter. When we talk of panosa, we're talking of shelter also. We're talking of clothing and shelter. And there you're subjected to the rawness of the elements. So Sipek Tzorkenu Arboim Shona Bamidbor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us in a desert for 40 years. And he took care of all of our needs. We had what to eat, we had what to drink, we had clothing, we had shelter. And this was a greater miracle of breaking the nature of the world. Because first of all, in its own dimension, it was as great as the splitting of the sea. regular parnosa is equal to the splitting of the sea, the Gemara says. This was parnosa in a desert. But secondly, the splitting of the sea was the shore. How long did the sea have to stay split? This only was during the night, took place during the night, and in the morning the waters returned. But this was for 40 years. For 40 years, Sipek Chokeinu Bamidbor. Here we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the forces of creation for Yisrael in a permanent state for 40 years. So this is a higher level. And then it states, Bechilonu Es HaMon. He gave us the Mon. This is going a step further. Why? Because even if he would have taken care of our needs in the desert, he didn't have to feed us Mon. He could have fed us quail. He could have made it that some animals would have come, or some birds would have come. The Mon, the Torah tells us, not only fell miraculously from the heavens, but was a food which was almost like a spiritual food. It had every taste in it that a man desired. Because all he had to do was think of that taste, and this is how he tasted it. And it states it was nivloim be'evorim. It was totally absorbed in the body, and there was no waste product from it. There was no waste product from it whatsoever. And this is a sign that it was almost totally spiritual and not physical. Because everything that's physical in this world, we know, you have to sort out. Anything that's physical, you have to take out the good and throw away the bad. This, the Gemara tells us, the Torah tells us, there was no psalis. There was no waste products of it whatsoever. So Hechilonu Es HaMon, that he gave us a spiritual food. Now what we're referring to in this section that we just spoke about, this is what we call Nisim Gluim, open miracles. Open miracles mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu openly defies creation for Klal Yisrael. So here he was bringing Klal Yisrael now to the middle of the road as they rose to the ultimate heights. Not only did they attain political freedom, but he even demonstrated that they are free from the nature of the world also, where necessary. And they are not subjected. They are not subservient to this world. We find this in reality. Besides what took place then, states, behold, Vadora in Dimalenu Lachalisenu. Every generation, nation stand up to destroy us. If you would go in accordance to the nature of events, we, heaven forbid, would have been destroyed generations ago. Yet our enemies die and we survive. So this was the second section. Now we come to the third section. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has freed us from the nature of the world, and we're already politically liberated. And if you ask anyone, they'll tell you this is wonderful freedom. This is real liberation. This, in the eyes of the Torah, is still a very, very cheap sort of freedom. You have a lot of people talk today about freedom. Give man freedom. Let him become politically free from other nations. Give him even this type of freedom. Let him become free from the forces of nature. What kind of glick? What kind of fortune would that be for a man? What would he do with this freedom? if he had mon, if his panosa came from the heavens, if he could split seas, if he could destroy his enemy in the waters, what would he do with this freedom? You know what he would do with this freedom? He would have a capability of far more ruination in the world than he has today. And he would use it for that. You think atom bombs or nuclear bombs are something. Imagine if man had this force. If he could manipulate the seas. Imagine the military power he would have with this. He would go to war, one nation would go to war against the other by splitting seas and by bringing seas back down on top of them. People tell you, if only we were free, people wouldn't enslave us, and we were free from the elements, a click would be a good fortune for them. Then the world would be in total ruins. We see with man's tampering with the nature what he can do. He learned how to tamper with the nature, and he created a bomb. He learned further how to tamper with the nature, and he created an atomic bomb. He learned further and he created a nuclear bomb. He learned further and he can create biological warfare, where he can kill off another nation with germs. And while doing all of this, he has destroyed nature. He's destroyed the seas, he's polluted, and he's destroyed the forests, and he's destroyed the resources. And that's only where he uncovers the secrets of nature. Imagine if he would rule nature. And this, in the eyes of a Koriborko, is not freedom. This is still Kechamor donkey. This is the donkey. This is freedom. Man, with all of this, is still the same slave. We said that freedom was where the gigantic intellect that was given to man, he chooses to have that rule himself. And that leads him and that directs him. Is that what happens to man? Or has a man become a slave to himself, where he pursues his desires, he pursues his passions, he pursues his greed, he pursues his lust for power? People talk of political freedom. What do they do with the political freedom? I'll tell you what they do with the political freedom. They go in and enslave another nation with it. That's what they do with it. This is history, every generation. The minute you start tying someone's hands, they say, liberty, liberty, give them liberty. Gave Germany liberty. Gave Japan liberty. Gave Russia liberty. This is history. But man is the same slave. He's a worse slave than the donkey. A worse slave than the donkey. Because the donkey was created for that purpose. And man, on the other hand, give him power, and his power, he becomes a slave to that power. He becomes greedy. He wants glory. He wants power. He wants everything that he can get his hands on. And it makes no difference to him if it means destroying forests for it, or if it means invading other countries for it, or if it means stealing from other people, or if it means murdering of other people. The fact is, we have seen through history where not life means nothing, but millions and millions of lives mean nothing if they stand in the way of man's own determination, which he maybe calls self-determination. And this, in the eyes of the Torah, is still is a very, very low degree of slavery. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't satisfied with this level itself. And he wanted servants. He didn't want these type of servants. And he wanted someone that would come to Torah. He didn't want. They weren't ready. So he gave them a third section, a third level. We said there was a beginning and a middle and an end. And he gave them the ultimate. And that was once he had gained this political freedom from other nations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu even gave him the power where if there's a conflict, the world moves aside from him. The physical world moves aside. Then he gave to Israel levels where they can come to great kedusha, great sanctity and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the third section deals with. And this is the Shikra HaGomor. And this is the true freedom. Where man is not only free from other forces, but he becomes free from himself also. Where no longer is he a slave to himself, but he's a master to himself. Where he rules himself. Like it states, Tev Erech Apai Milechei Deir. That the one who rules himself and rules his spirit, Hameshel Beruchai, he who rules his spirit, he is stronger than the one who captures the city. And this was the level of Yosef HaTzadik. You know, we today amongst youth, there's a lot of talk of freedom. What do they want freedom for? They want freedom to be free to do whatever their animalistic instincts and their greed and everything else drives them to do. This is what they want freedom for. So they can indulge in homosexuality. So they can indulge in all types of impurities. So they can indulge in anything else. This is the lowest type of slavery. This is worse than the donkey. Because the donkey was created this way, but not man. And this was Yosef HaTzadik that came to this great level of shichra, of liberty. Because when he went down to Egypt, he was a young boy, he was 17. And he left the home of Yaakov. And in Egypt, he was subjected to all of the degradation, bad influences, and temptations of Egypt. He went down and he was enslaved. Then he was tempted by his mistress. Then he was thrown into the dungeon. And you can imagine what the dungeons of Egypt were. See, he was in the worst company. And then he was lifted out of the dungeons. And he came to the court of Pare, who Pare at that time was the mighty emperor of the world. And it was made into the viceroy. What happens usually to Jews when they go from poverty to wealth? Enormous wealth and enormous power. What happens to a person when he becomes intoxicated with power? And Pare said on Yosef that not one man in this land shall lift a hand or a leg without your permission. And he became the mightiest ruler in the world because even Pare was afraid of him, the Chazal tell us. When people came to complain, he said that Yosef is commanding us to do this and that. So he said, why didn't you take grain and store it away? You were warned of what was coming? They said we did, but it rotted. So Pare says if he has the power to decree that your grain will rot, he has the power to decree that you also will rot. You better listen to him. And he went and was malakeit kol kesef sheba'olam, the Gemara tells us. He gathered up all of the money of the world. This was Yosef. So there couldn't have been an individual that came under more enormous forces to do wrong, forces of assimilation, forces of greed, forces of political power, forces of wealth, forces of being in the dungeon with criminals. And this was all when he was away from his father's home. He was on his own. And when Yaakov came down and he met Yosef after 22 years, it states for Yosef Hoyu b'Mitzrayim. Joseph was in Egypt. What do you mean Joseph was in Egypt? We knew Joseph was in Egypt. No. No. When someone left home, someone left his home, and he went away, and he was there many years, that's not the same person. That's a different person. It's a new person. Under new influences. Under alien influences. But here was Yosef Oyev Mitzrayim, the same Yosef that was in Yaakov's home, and the same Yosef that studied Torah by Yaakov. Masalei kol chokhma. He gave him all of his wisdom that he learned by Shem Be'Eber. Yaakov said, this is the same Yosef. That's why he recited the Shema. He was so amazed that he recited the Shema when he saw Yosef. This is the same Yosef. He couldn't get over it. And not only was this the same Yosef, what happened when people left home and they became subjected to some of these influences? Most of them were crippled. They disappeared. But even the few that survived, what happened to their children? The children disappeared. Yosef brought up children under these influences that Yaakov was totally amazed. He says, Ephraim and Manasseh, Kerubin v'Shimon Yuli, they will be counted amongst the Shvotim, my children. They are as great as Reuben and Shimon. He says, you achieve what I couldn't achieve. I brought up the Shvotim in a situation of a strong home, in a situation where I could do what I wanted. We were all together. You created Shvotim in the depths of Egypt. What was Egypt? Gemara says Egypt was the Ta'eva, the land of abominations. The land of abominations, of sorcery, of idolatry, of homosexuality, of everything. This was what Egypt was. And you brought up Ephraim and Manasseh. This was the power of Yosef. People today, they say, campus youth, they want freedom, they want liberty. Let them go and study from Yosef, how a person should have liberty. This was Shikra, this was freedom. And the Chazal tell us, why was he Zeicher to become king? He became such a powerful king. Because he was a king over himself. He ruled himself, then he will rule nations. He reigned over himself. He will reign other nations, over other nations. And the Gemara Taka tells us, the Medrash says, that when they went out of Egypt, so Yosef made them take an oath that when you go out, you won't leave me here. Take my remains with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu kept the oath while all of Israel was running around looking for the spoils of Egypt, because that was a command. It was a command that they must take the spoils of Egypt with them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised Abraham. He says that I will afflict you, I will bring your children to a land I will bring your children to a land that will be afflicted. They will afflict them. Thank you. I will bring your children to a land where they will afflict them. But Ahakach Yetzu B'Ruchush Gadol, they will go out with a great wealth. So it was a command. He said, Daber Noah, please tell the people that when they leave, they must go with a great wealth. I have to keep my promise to Abraham. Moshe didn't look around for wealth. He was looking for mitzvahs. Medrash says that Achochom looks for mitzvahs. He was trying to find Arenei Shel Yosef, the casket of Yosef, to take him out. The Egyptians had concealed the casket. And when they went out, the casket of Yosef was in front. And it states that when they came to the sea, Vayarha Yom Vayonos, the sea saw, it gazed, and moved aside. What did it see? Arene Shel Yosef. Mikan Shebeskus Yosef Yibok HaYam. Through the schus of Yosef, the sea was split. What kind of schus? The sea said, we can enslave people that we are greater over. But someone like Yosef, who is a king, not that he was only a king of Egypt, he was a king over himself, he will rule the sea. Someone who rules himself, he will rule the earth that he comes from. And the sea immediately had to move aside. So now we're talking about a higher level of Shikra. And that's what this last section refers to. That it's not enough that one is merely freed from other nations or even other elements, but what is he going to do with all of this freedom? He has to come to great heights of sanctity in order to be a free man and to rule himself. The third section, the last five, they start with a different types of levels. Not where Hashem freed us from the Egyptians, he gave us their money, or he broke the nature for us. But they're speaking where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us spiritual levels. The first one is V'nosan lono es HaShabbos. He gave us Shabbos. Shabbos was one of the first mitzvahs given to Klal Yisrael. We spoke about this in the Shir on Mishpotim. It states that Shabbos preceded the Ten Commandments. In Mora, when they came to Mora, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of Shabbos. Now Shabbos was the Tchilas HaKdusha. This was the beginning of sanctity. What does Shabbos represent? Kodesh. That 6 days you shall work. V'yema Shabbos, and on the seventh day, you shall rest. You shall remember Shabbos, and Lekatsha, you shall make it holy. So Shabbos represents Kiddushim. And Shabbos represents Ekvul, represents boundaries. People don't like boundaries. They want to be hefker. This is the problem of the world today. We want to do what we want to do, and we want to do whatever our own minds decide what we want to do, and they do not want to recognize that there happens to be boundaries in the world. What is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. And I can stand for 100 years and tell you that what is wrong is right, and what is right is wrong, and that doesn't change the reality. It's a reality. So-called democracies can make whatever constitutions they want, and so-called peoples can make whatever laws they want, and so-called tyrants can make whatever laws they want. But it does not change the reality of the gvulim, of the boundaries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set in the world. And that is what is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. And Shabbos is a gvul. This is a boundary he gave to Klal Yisrael. Not every day is the same. 6 days are whole, 6 days are not holy, and the seventh day is Kodesh. This is the whole concept of Havdalah. When we say Shabbos, we make Havdalah. What we make Havdalah to distinguish, lahavdil, bein hakodesh bevein hachol, lahavdil, to distinguish between what is sanctified and what is not sanctified, to distinguish between the 6 days of work and the seventh day, which is rest. And this was the first level that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klal Yisrael, that he says you should know that in the world there is what is not sanctified and there is what is sanctified. And I am commanding you to sanctify it. And this also represented not a single mitzvah. This represented a covenant. Brisi. Osi. This is a covenant between me and you. This is a sign between me and you that I have separated you and I have elevated you from the other peoples of the world because I am giving you greater sanctity and I am giving you greater levels to sanctify, just as I have elevated the seventh day from the rest of the days. Therefore I have given to you Shabbos. So now Shabbos is a new level. This is bringing, now that Klal Yisrael had all of this freedom, now they can come to this level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sanctification of themselves. Then it states, Bekervanu lifnei Har Sinai. He brought us close to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai. What was this? What was the great attribute, the great fortune of coming close to Har Sinai? We're not speaking of giving of the Torah, because that's the next one. So what was just coming close to Har Sinai? So the Gemara brings in Avei Zorah, Rav Chob Beis Omer Beis, Omer Rabbi Eichnan, Bisho Shebo Nochesh Al Chavo, Hitl Bo Zuhuma. When Chava, the first woman, sinned, it states that a tumah, a severe impurity, went into her. When she ate the fruit that she wasn't supposed to, and there became a taruvus, a whole mixture of taint evil. Before then, the good and evil were distinguished. They were separate from each other. But when she ate the fruit, and it brought an enormous mixture of good and evil, and from the nochesh, from the serpent, just like when a serpent bites, it kills with its poison. There was a spiritual poison which came from the serpent through this hate that went into Chava and went into all of her seed, all of the generations that were to come later on. And this was called Zoama, a great impurity. It states that when Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai, poskozumos, this impurity ceased. When they stood at the foot of Sinai, before the giving of the Torah, then the impurity ceased. And this was necessary for the receiving of the Torah. Because as long as that zuama, as long as that poison was in them, they were not capable of coming to the level of the Torah. So therefore we say, Kervanu lahar Sinai. You brought us to Har Sinai and you purified us. You gave our souls enormous elevation. So this was a second step. Then there was a third step. Nosan lo no esa Torah. Now you gave us the Torah. Now the Torah is the ultimate sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states, Kutshe Brichu v'yarai shechatvu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah is one. Why? Because the Torah is merely Giloi Ritzayim. It is merely the revelation of his will. It is called the Seichel Elyon. When we study Torah, we are studying the intellect of the Almighty. People say they want to know the Almighty. So the Gemara tells us, how can you come to know the Almighty? It states, we after Yis Hashem Elokecha. How can you come to love the Almighty? Vishinantam Levanecha. You become to love the Almighty by learning Torah. Because there is no way to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no way to know a person better than to understand his will, than to understand his mind. And we understand the Almighty's will and the Almighty's mind through the Torah. Because the Torah is merely the Giloi Ritzenai, the revelation of his will and mind, the Seichel Elyon to us. And if a person constantly studies Torah, then he starts to think like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he studies Torah day and night and trains himself in Torah, he starts to think like Hashem. This is the right and the wrong we're speaking about. How do you know what's right and what's wrong? It states that Basisa Sayosha Bene Hashem, you must do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. How do we know what's right and what's wrong? We have to train ourselves. We have to constantly study His Torah, and then we will know what's right and what's wrong. You can come to places of scholarship. You can come to places, to academic places, and they can debate for days and for years and for centuries. They debate what's right and what's wrong. Klal Yisrael was given a Torah to instruct them in what is right and what is wrong. But Tiamelim, by they have to labor. Vagisa by Yemen Balailo. The Sechel HaElyon, the will of Hashem and his intellect is very far from the person. The person is created from the earth, and this is in the heavens. And therefore, day and night you have to labor in order to understand what his viewpoints are. What are his opinions? Until they finally become your opinions. And this is what it states in Ovis. The ultimate is where you make his will into your will. You become so close to his Torah that eventually this is the way you think and this is what you desire. And his will becomes your will. So this is Torah.
Really?
It's a tremendous chus that Torah came to this world. It states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe, the Malachim, the angels came and they started a whole row. And they said, where's Torah? And they found out they gave it to Moshe. He says, Chem de Genuza, this concealed treasure, which was created 974 generations before the creation of the world. And it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has joy from every day. And you gave it to B'nai Adam, you gave it to lowly men. This is where the angels came. And they wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to stand over them and protect them. So this is the Torah which he now brought Klal Yisrael to. So this was the third step of the sanctity of this Kedusha. The fourth step, Hichnisonu l'Eretz Yisrael. From there he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a further mile, is a further elevation. Why? Because many, many mitzvahs of the Torah cannot be fulfilled outside of Eretz Yisrael. The perfection of Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. We have many mitzvahs today. Many mitzvahs today we cannot fulfill. Many mitzvahs, of these mitzvahs, we can't even fulfill in Eretz Yisrael today. When we're speaking of Eretz Yisrael, we're speaking when Eretz Yisrael is in its total Kedusha. Not when we're in Golus. Before we went into Golus, in the Yitzhashem, when the Mashiach will come again, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be shaken with Zion in entirety. He will return his Shechina to Eretz Yisrael. Like we say, V'zechazenu einenu, B'shuv chaletzion. Every day we ask the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take your Shechina back to Eretz Yisrael. When his Shechina was in Eretz Yisrael, then we could fulfill Torah in its fullness. When we went out of Eretz Yisrael, we didn't only lose the land of Eretz Yisrael. We lost great portions of Torah. Many, many mitzvahs we do not have today. There is not the manifestation of them. But the Gemara says that if we learn them, Malalov HaKosev, it's as if we fulfilled it. It's as if, but we cannot fulfill it. And therefore, after he gave us Torah, he gave us a land where we could fulfill that Torah in entirety, in totality. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael was another, a further level. And this was a further level of Kiddush, of sanctity. Because Eretz Yisrael is different than all other lands. In Eretz Yisrael, there's something very unique. The land is physical. There can be nothing more physical than earth. yet it's called Eretz HaKdosha. It's called a land of sanctity. Because the whole world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created physical earth. But Eretz Yisrael, he fused it with a spiritual nature. So the land in Eretz Yisrael is not physical. If it would be physical, we would not call it Eretz HaKdosha. And this is why that when you grow crops outside of Eretz Yisrael, they do not have a spiritual element in them. And therefore, they do not require the fulfillment of various mitzvahs in regards to these crops. But when you grow crops in Eretz Yisrael, then they become a spiritual crop. And a whole new Torah comes into effect on how to deal with these crops. And the same thing with the cities of Eretz Yisrael and so forth and so on. This is why Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate chet, cannot tolerate sin. We don't find that in any landed states that if you won't behave, the land will reject you, the land will throw you out. This we find nowhere except Eretz Yisrael. It's an Eretz HaKadosha, it's a spiritual land. And therefore, a spiritual height must be attained. And whenever it's not, the land throws us out. This is what the Torah says. So he gave us then a further level in order to fulfill this Torah. Eretz HaKadosha, this was the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. Then the final level, Bonu Lonu, Beis HaBechira. He built for us the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate Devekus, the ultimate closeness that one can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when we had Eretz Yisrael, but if we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, again, there were many, many facets of Torah that could not be fulfilled. In order for all facets of Torah to be fulfilled, we need Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. And when we had the Beis HaMikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash. Also, the Mikdash v'shachamti b'secho, build for me a sanctuary, and then I will dwell amongst you. And this is where he dwelt. And this brought us even to a higher level. And there is nothing that is more needful. There is nothing that is more removed from the physical world than the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was his spiritual place. It's called Mikdash because it's removed, Kodesh. And it's called Mishkan because Shochein, there he dwells. Today we don't have it. Today the Gemara says, we gave a shiur recently, we have the Bote Kinesios, the Bote Midrashes. The remnant is the shuls and the houses of study. But the Beis HaMikdash we don't have. But when we had it, then that uplifted not only the Beis HaMikdash itself, and not only Yerushalayim, and not only Eretz Yisrael, but the whole world was uplifted because of the Beis HaMikdash. And it states, Asora Nisim Shebechol Yom. There were 10 miracles that took place on a regular basis in the Beis HaMikdash. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, miracles were not a rarity. All of the time, miracles were taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. Because it was elevated and beyond. It's interesting to note, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us in the building of a Mikdash? The Medrash tells us, this is at the beginning of Parshas Truma, he commanded us in the building of the Mikdash because he gave us the Torah. Marshal Lamad of Adema, Lemelech, Shohol Yolo Bas Shechita. A king had an only daughter. And this only daughter was very, very precious to him. And he loved her very much. And one day, a handsome prince came along. And he married the daughter to the prince. Well, they had all of the festivities, the wedding, everything quieted down. The prince said, it's time for me to go back to my home. And the king said, I have a dilemma. He says, you're going to take my daughter from me. not allowed you to take her. I can't. I already have given her to you. But if you take her, I cannot live without her. So do me one favor, he said. Wherever you go, build a home that I might come and stay with you also. This is what Hashem said. He says, I have one daughter, and that's my Torah. You've taken it from me. The chasna is over, and you're taking the Torah now. Take it back. I can't. I've already given it to you. Live without it. I can't. So do me one favor. Build a house for me also that I may come to live with you. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to build the Mishkan. If he gave us his Torah, this means he has to come along. We took his Torah, we must take him also. So we must build a home for him. And this is what the Gemara says, the Medrash says, why is it called Ki Lekach Tov Nosati Lochem? What is the goodness of Torah? When you sell something to someone else, you purchase the article, you acquire the article, but you don't acquire the merchant with it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah, not only did we acquire Torah, we acquired Kaviyochol, as if to say, the merchant also. We acquired also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since he gave us Torah, now he had to give us a Beis HaMikdash where he could come and dwell with the Torah. And this is why we learned in the Parshas that when he spoke to Moshe, he spoke through the Torah, through the Oren, in the Beis HaMikdash. So this was the final level. So we have 15 levels. The first level is Hetzi'ono Mimitzrayim. He took us out of Egypt. That's the lowest level. Because when it comes to the human being, when it comes to human dignity, when it comes to the greatness of the individual, he cannot be a slave. That is demoting the individual to an animal. Animals were created to be servants, not people. So that was the first thing he did. And he took us all the way to Bon Olona Beis HaBechira, where he built for us the Beis HaMikdash, where we became giants. Mamleches Kehanim Vegei Kodesh. A nation of royalty and a sanctified nation to him. And this is Shichra, this is freedom. This is freedom in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the first series of steps was to free us from physical slavery, political liberty. And the second series of steps went further to free us from slavery, from the force of nature, where we see that nature moves if necessary for the Jew. And the third series of steps was to elevate us to himself. But he gave us Shabbos, and he gave us the cake. He brought us to Eretz Yisrael to purify us, to Har Sinai, and he gave us the Torah, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael to practice it and to fulfill it, and he gave us Beis HaMikdash. And in total, there are 15 steps. Because he gave us all of the levels that the world encompasses. All of the levels. The total cycle. Like we see that the moon has 15 cycles and no more. And when they built the Beis HaMikdash, they built it with 15 steps, which signify these 15 levels that went up to the Beis HaMikdash, the ultimate. And it states in the Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah that when they used to, on the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they used to walk up the steps. And then in the morning they'd come down. And as they were coming down, Hofku Panehem, they would turn around. They would turn around, their backs to the east and face the west. And they said that Aviseinu Hoyo Evdim Avedis Zora, our fathers were idolaters. And they used to look eastward. Why did idolaters look eastward? Because the physical forces are eastward. Mimizrach Shemesh, because in the east rises the sun, the strongest physical force. And idolatry, the strongest idolatry was those who served the sun. And they turned around, they turned their backs to the east, and they said, we look to the west. The west is where the sun sets. The diminishing of the sun, which shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the nature. And they said, Onu leko ve'inenu leko. Our fathers looked to the east, to the sun. We look to Hashem. And they called Hashem, Onu leko ve'inenu leko, by the yud and the hay, which represented, we look to the 15 levels that he took us. From away from the sun, above the sun, and to this level. So this is the what is popularly known as Dayenu. But this is what is meant, Kama Milis Tevis. How many degrees of elevation, Ramokam Aleinu, that we must be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Because he didn't have to give us all of this. He could have given us one. He could have given us two. It's like a person is wealthy. He's very wealthy. And he wants to share it with someone else. So what does he give him? He gives him part of his wealth. He'll give him 5%, 10%. Doesn't give him all his wealth. Kama milis tevus lamokom aleinu. How much gratitude we must have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he gave us all of the levels. Everything that he created in this world and in the next, in the two worlds. With the yud and the hay, he gave us. And this, it begins with the going out of Egypt, Hitzionu Mimitzrayim. And this, the sages, the Torah commands us all of the time, we must remember. We don't try to conceal our past. We don't try to say that, look, we come from good stock. We do come from very good stock. But we don't try to say we are from the nobility, sophisticated, and we don't look at our past. No, the Torah says every day you must remember that you were avodim lepare. You were a slave. And there is nothing lower than a slave. And I took you out of Egypt. Bechol yeim askirin yitzias Mitzrayim. And I took you out with great miracles and a strong hand and outstretched arm. And I brought you all the way to the Beis HaBechira, to the Beis HaMikdash. If we could visualize that every day, there would be no arrogance amongst Jews, and there would be no depression amongst Jews. We would be full of joy and simcha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Therefore, we say, Kama Milis Teves, Lamokum Aleinu, how much, how many levels he has given us. This is what it states, that Hibdilonu Min Ha'am, that he has distinguished us from all of the nations, given us the Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, everything in this world. This is a world of opportunity, and it was given in particular to Klal Yisrael. May we be zecha to have a wonderful Chag HaPesach, a Chag HaChirusim, and may we come to these levels of Chirus, of freedom, which is synonymous with the levels of the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, of the Beis HaMikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.